The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogie, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday, except holidays, at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our producer tonight in studios is none other than Kramer. And telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And I would like to say to all listeners, a wonderful Friday evening. I hope you enjoy your Friday, and I hope that the weekend even is more wonderful, because we need some joy in a lot of lives in the country. And for those who are listening, I thank you very much for giving me the time and hospitality to listen to me at this particular time, because there's a lot people can be doing on Friday. But I think I've made a podcast to talk about the everyday problems that Bahamian society is facing on a regular basis here in the country. And some may agree about how I presented on radio. Some might say, you know, I say some things that I'm not supposed to say. But it's reality what's happening to our country. So I'm only relaying the information best way possible to the proper authorities and those who have the power, and they might not have the understanding on how to approach the crime or the poverty or the housing issues or anything that deals with the inner city communities. Might not know how to approach it when it comes to programs or even understanding the situation in the country. Because, you know, I listen to many of the shows around the country, and I would listen, and maybe they would be back and forth on either they would say, you know, certain crimes happen in the country, or crimes happen in the country that, you know, the family structure doesn't decide that an individual, you know, has the right to pick what's right or what's wrong, which I totally agree with. But circumstances changes that individual that grows up in these inner city communities, and some of these individuals are not young men or young females. Some of them are not properly trained to present themselves, even to apply for a job or to have a discussion on certain matters, because their life has been abused from the inception they came on this earth. And the community that they reside in is no better than their life. So their life is abused, the community is abused. So when I take a whole holistic look at the situation in this country, I've been a part of it all my life. You know, I'm still struggling. You know, I'm not a perfect individual. You know, I had my times in life where I gave up on life, you know, where I was involved in criminal activity. You know, even when I came out of the criminal activities, I had to be a part of being a civilian and watching the young guys around the community who I grew up now running around the street with AK-47 become top killers. And all I can do is hope that they respect me enough that I can at least, you know, talk to them and, you know, steer them in the right direction and stop some of the sins or incidents that would occur in the community. And I do that by just talking to them and saying, man, it's our community, you know, we're trying to do some things to better the community for you guys, you know. So try not to have conflicts with one another in the community. But as I continue to learn, you know, because even me, you know, like I said, come on out of it. It's a new generation. It's a new generation of thinking. Now, mind you, it goes back to when we were growing up in the inner city communities. But this generation now don't go to church. This generation now don't like when you tell them what's right or what's wrong. And if they and if they do something wrong, they feel it's right. So even if you approach them and you're saying, man, look, you know, you was wrong, to them, they were right. And so it's very, very difficult in this day and age to really get a grip on how you can be able to make an impact on poisonous lives in the country now. And top that off, poverty is just being a major factor in this whole endemic that we are facing here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but around the Caribbean and around the major countries in the world. So this is something that I have been in. I become a civilian watching young guys who I grew them, watch them develop into, you know, some turning out good, some going on the bad part, but the bad part, the set that been on the bad part, they wreak a lot of havoc, you know, across the country. And it's a reflection on me saying, you know, I wish I could do more to really make an impact in this young man's life. So many people would see me come on this radio and I would be talking about my life. I want y'all to listen closely. I just recently started speaking, you know. Ask anyone who knew me. I rarely used to talk because, you know, I had my own issue. I had my mental health issues. I rarely used to talk. My expression of talking is violence. That's how I used to talk. I never used to talk. I was a very quiet young man. Just recently, on my journey, I started to talk because I feel that I could make a difference on how we approach the future generation of youngsters in the country. And I feel that I could reach the people in the office of the prime ministers, the people who have the power, you know, but you have to convince them with a reasonable doubt in order for them to manifest some of the ideas that can really be beneficial to the country, you know, and I have that experience. And many people who would listen to the show would hear me talk about my life and et cetera. I don't even like to talk about my life, you know. But it's just because I talk about it because it's just a revolving door, just like how my life was and many others, thousands of Bahamians who resided here who were either involved in crime or just normal citizens, you know. And as I continue to be a civilian in the carnage that was occurring in the country. Because I was living here in the country too when all these 100 murders and 147 murders, I was here too. You know, I was living in the most crime-infested community in the history of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and that was Grandstand. Yeah, we were number one for many years. When I was a gangster, then when the set who we grew up, their children became top gangsters around the country. And it's just a revolving door because I see myself, I see all the guys who were serious guys back in the day who were roaming the streets. They just manifest again, just different people, different body, but we still have the same way of thinking. We always want to be disruptive, you know. And I say, wow, it's just a revolving door, you know. Now, we are chilling out, trying to be productive citizens. Now, we are watching ourselves 15, 16, when we were 15, 16. And now, we want to criticize those who were 15, 16, but we were 15, 16 too, and we were teenagers. So sometimes we lapse and feel that we are all perfect, but we were 15, 16 too, just like everyone else in the country was 15, 16 in the country, you know? And everyone made mistakes, you know, when they're around that age. And I see a revolving door of it happening over and over. So that's why I keep on talking about my life, talking about the experiences, about how many times guys shot at me. You know, I shot at guys also. But I'm just saying that to let the country know this has been going on in this country for a very, very long time. And it has reached a point where the pot has boiled over. You know, and now it's the foam coming out of the pot, you know, the surge coming out the pot now, lifting the pot up. That's how much pressure it is now in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You know, a lot of pressure, you know. So, yes, you know, I might say things about the females, say things about the males, but I can assure you that as a young person, you know, I'm still very young, and I have corrected my life from being a person who was detrimental to the country, detrimental to my community. The understanding and make corrections of the mistakes not only that I make, my parents made, my father made. You know, it took me a little while, and what others are making. And that's why I'm able to live today. So I want to give those out there who would be kind of confused on how you can defuse yourself from situation living in your community. And this is one way how I did it. Got myself out of negative and into the positive, then I go into the positive part. Well, you know, being a gang leader, I was never a gangster. I was a gang leader. From the inception of the Border Boys, I was there, along with Giovanni Forbes and Tana Forbes, Preacher, a few others, Kenrick, my cousin Kenrick. I was there. I was a young guy, about 14, 15. Dr. F named the group. And I was a leader at young. And it was a time when the family structure was really attacked in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You know, this is the early 70s. You know, it started in the 60s, then the 70s is the real, like, drug epidemic where the family structures really get damaged and created drug babies. So I would call myself a drug baby, and these are some of the mistakes that I'm not trying to make that my parents made, and I feel me, Valentino Braun, was not made for love or made to have a future. I was just made for pleasure, no planning whatsoever. I feel that my mom and dad probably just met, you know, like teenagers, you know. Millions of kids around the country went through the same particular situation that I was in. Not using it as an excuse. It can't be an excuse if it actually happened to millions of people. You know, so there's no excuse. This actually happened, and I felt that, you know, they just went out there and went they hanky panky, and I was made. But they never had a future plan on say how to raise a child. Probably didn't want a child. I don't even think they wanted a child. I think they're just having sex around that particular time, partying, going out to the nightclubs, created a lot of us in the country. And from the inception, they were not listening to their parents, doing whatever they feel like doing. And eventually, my father was caught up in a situation where someone was killed, and he was one of the main characters, along with a few of his cousins and a few of the other guys in the community. They were sentenced. My father got Queen's pleasure. At that particular time, my auntie and my grandmother, who's now deceased, my auntie was telling me, like, how I think I wasn't born yet, or I think I was born, just had born, or was in my mother's stomach, and then I was born, like, when he got a sentence. And my mom, she was not a fit mother. She was a rebel against her mother. And she disobeyed my grandmother. at all costs. My grandmother told her not to be like her. You know, she had 7 or 8 children, and, you know, you should not go then try to have 7 or 8 children because it's tough being a single parent. Yes, she didn't listen, so she decided to know the hell with that. I've been here longer than her own mother, so she went out there, and like I said, I was created when my father went to prison, according to the history. When my auntie is telling me, I was born, and he told me my father got sentenced. My mom, she was a drug addict, and she was on the streets. So, I mean, she was living with my grandmother, and my grandmother took me away from my mom and put my mom out because she just was disobedient. She broke all the rules of my grandmother. She was her own woman, so my grandmother tells us, since you're your own woman, you don't listen. Well, the world out there for you. And you can see just how hard it is to struggle by yourself having all these children and what responsibility is paying a light bill, buying a grocery, having the food cooked, cleaning the house, and et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. And she went on down. And she continued. She had about 4 more kids. My grandmother kept me and kicked out. She had 4 more kids. My brother and sister were killed a few years back in a triple murder. I recently met them because she was an unfit mom. The government took them away. Social service heard about her leaving the kids in an unfit home. Kids by themselves, 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And she was never around. The father was never around. You know, she had a different boyfriend, and she was never around. So social service came in and took the kids. So I was left staying with my grandmother. They get scattered in the family islands. I just recently met my sister about 2 years now from the inception, from she was born. This is the first time I saw and talked to her. And 2 years, if you listen to Gathering Radio a few months back, you'd see where I met my sister. She had an article in the newspapers, and she was trying to find her family. And we eventually got in contact. So I never had a relationship with my brothers and sisters. And when I did, their life became a corrupt, quick ending. My brother now is spending 22 years in Cuba. I met them about 7 years ago. And, you know, he was involved in drug trafficking. You know, that's his life. My sister, she was just like my mom. She was the one, like, who really caused my brother, who was really innocent in the whole situation, got killed in the Carmichael Road incident because, you know, she just was, you know, unruly as a female, and she just, you know, she had a temper. She didn't have no guidance. She was just like me, you know, violent, even though she was a female, you know, because I talked to her once or twice, and I saw where I said something to her, and she got agitated, you know, so I say, you know what, I don't want to go there with her, so I know my boundaries, you know, because, you know, we just met, but, you know, we know. We just had the connection as brothers and sisters, but she had a high temper. She would go from 0 to 100, and that caused her brother dead and some other people's death. She caused actually about 3 or 4 other people got killed on this one particular revenge, retaliation in the Michael Road area. The country really don't know the whole story that happened in that particular triple murder. At least it was actually 5 murders, because both of the females were either ready to have baby or just 3 months pregnant. So they were scattered, you know, so I never met them. Me, I was left in the community where I lived with my grandmother. And our community was just a drug-infested community. There were good people living in the community, but the majority of the community were on drugs, you know. So the things that I was seeing back in the days, I'm still seeing today. You know, as a youngster and as a grown man now, I'm still seeing the same type of revolving door. So for those who might say, you know, I shouldn't be saying this on radio. You know, you don't understand what's going on in our country. You know, why y'all don't whitewall it and make it all pretty and also glimmer? It ain't also glimmer. It look like it also glimmer when we over 101 murders and we on pace now for 127. And we have 3 months left. How much incident of rape, how much incident of abuse that's going on in our country? So if I'm on this radio and you're not liking on my approach, on the way I'm saying things, you ain't saying these things, you don't understand these things, and you don't know how to solve the solution because your world is completely different from the world that exists here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Let me just first tell you that. You have the experience to be able to come on this radio and talk about what you see. You know, you have to have the strength to come on this radio and to have the type of real-life topics that I have on this show, because that is the everyday life that everyday Bahamians are facing in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas that I express myself on here. I'm not here on the show for me. I'm here for the future of this country, because I know very well on the mindset of the young man that you see opening fire on the police, because I was just like them. Even me, when I was a teenager, 20, 21, I shot at the police, and police shot at me 3 times. Because when I was on my moves and we were on gangsters, and every time the police would be able to be on scene and we're trying to get away, you know. But the adrenaline, because our minds were like soldiers, you know. We weren't afraid to pick up a shotgun or a 3.5, 7 or 9 millimeter and walk from here down the Wolf Road to go look for assailant, because we didn't have no guidance. And when I'm saying V, if you go back in the early 80s and 90s with all the different gangs around country, but it was just no gangs. It was included rapists, bungie bandits, armed robbers, et cetera, around the country. And we had a high prison rate at that particular time. And to date, we still have a high rate of Bahamians in prison today. You know, so people out there might not like my approach, but I'm one of the nicest person you can ever be around, because I've corrected my life on the mistakes that I see others making. I can survive living in the community because I know how far to go. Anyone know me, they know one thing with me. I don't get in people's business. I don't hang with nobody. I don't talk about people, all right? If someone, for some particular reason, don't like me in the community, I avoid them. That don't mean I won't help them, but I would avoid them, because that's just the way things is. People, for no particular reason, just hate you because of what you're doing. And that's just everyday life, you know? Anyone could tell you that but me. And I'm the kindest person you could probably ever buck in your life. I'm one of the smartest person that you could ever come across. You know, so you may not like my approach, but my approach is to better this country, because the things I speak upon is actually what happened. So you think there are stories that I'm telling on the radio, there are stories that happen to everyday citizens. Sometimes the stories be about me. Sometimes it be stories would be about guys who I know. You know, sometimes you hear me talk about Timothy Cole. You know, what most people don't know is I didn't tell the first story on Timothy Cole. And, you know, he was arrested and convicted for the death of Inspector Batch about 2 years ago. You remember that? Well, when I was incarcerated in prison, Timothy Cole was the one who protected me in prison. He made sure that I was put in a particular cell because he knew that a lot of the rebellions and gun dogs and all other guys in the prison at that particular time wanted to gang me. And he talked to the prison officer, and I was walking, he put me in a safe environment. And then while I was in prison, my enemy name is Kelsey Lundy. And he has a nickname called Scrooge. Now, I want people to bear in mind that people call me Scrooge, but my original name is Scoochie. I got the name Scrooge because when a European was here, and when he heard about my life story, he said Ebenezer Scrooge with the three ghosts and how Ebenezer was. And everyone know the story about Ebenezer and the three ghosts that came around Christmas. So he called me that. And then from there, I took on the name Scrooge. So it's actually Ebenezer Scrooge he's called me. Well, Scrooge is Kelsey Lundy. At that particular time, he was accused of shooting my friend, who was one of the leaders of the Border Boys, James Charles, in the stomach. And then his second in command was Franz Pascal. And he was charged for shooting Mario Seymour Chicken, who was at me at a particular time. And Franz, he was guilty now. Franz is guilty because I'm the witness, but anyhow, I went and identified him because we were not like that back in the 90s. We would never identify someone who you were born with. We call that sissy, you know, we rather catch you. So Franz Pascal, you know, shot at me, fired 15 shots, and he shot Mario Seymour Chicken. Chicken works at the Department of Roads and Park, and you would see him normally cutting the streets, and he was shot in his back. Yeah, so Franz was in prison. Scrooge was in prison. And then the whole prison tried to gang me. And I stood my ground, and then Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge, down in East Creek, he was one of the leaders of the Rebellion Raiders. He came to my aid, and he said, you know what? Y'all can't bother with Scoochie, because Scoochie is a warrior. He ain't no light nigga. So he came to my aid, and, you know, so prison gang warfare hasn't changed either. I say I had the whole prison wanted to gang me. And Kelsey Lundy is a testament to what I'm saying. You know, James Charles is a testament. And all those guys who are there, many of them died now, but there are still many around. And they talk about this because the whole jail tried to gang me when I went to prison. Because I was a very, very troublesome young man. I had many, many enemies. And all of these guys were just like me. So even though I was a hard boy, there were many hard boys just like me. Some were into armed robbing, some were rapists, which I don't like the rapists. I don't like the armed robbers. Even though in our clique in the Border Boys, we had armed robbers, they would normally go out and do their little thing and bring back money so we could get firearms in order for us to stock up against our enemies. So we needed funds, and none of us are working. And if some are working, they be pool. And who don't pull goes out and do certain crimes. So, like I said, I'm just saying this to say, you know, these are personal experience that I went through, and I don't like to talk about it, but it seems like this, just like yesterday, with society today. You know, so people might don't see me and come on this radio and talk about my past. My past is, I only talking about it because it's happening to too many of our youngsters in this country, and the family structure is being completely destroyed in this country. And we need all hands on deck to see much as possible as we could get in the mindset of the next generations of young behemoths who are living here in the country, and also provide a future for the unemployed here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So, you know, we're going to take this one call, and then I'm going to get back to the second phase of the show where we talk about an article I saw by the Minister of Environment, the Honorable Juan Miller, in a few minutes. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Good evening, Scrooge. How you doing, good buddy?
I'm fine, sir.
Sparky here.
Hey, what's up, Spark?
Hey, oh, good blood. You know, I listen to you every Friday, and I understand. And I congratulate you and applaud you for what you're trying to do and attempted to do. I wish it get to the ears of those that need to get it to, but one of the problems I think I see with our country as well is a lot of these talk shows, I don't think they get into the people who need to hear it. Because, you know, for example, this Friday night, And you know, there'd be some, when Friday morning come, the first thing we all know is TGIF.
Yes.
Party time.
Yes, sir.
We going out tonight. We just get paid.
Yes, sir.
Everybody in any little nightclub or bar they could find. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Because I came out to the 60s, 70s, 80s and stuff like that myself.
Yes. You grew so up with my father. You know my father, Noel Sparky. You ain't know Wendell Brand?
Yeah, man.
You know that's my father?
No, I didn't know that.
You see that?
I didn't know
that's
you,
why
when I meet you now today.
And you know me. When you was working at Beauty Bakery, I was right there, too.
Right. Then I came around the corner one time by your little place,
yeah.
Little corner.
Yeah,
there,
so we go way back.
Yeah,
you
but
see?
The thing is, what you say, if you understand what I'm trying
yes,
to say.
Sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Like how you talking now, this Friday evening. Most of the people you might be trying to reach with your message ain't nowhere near no radio. Where they is, in one bar, and the music turn up so loud, plus they rowing about the football game last night. You know, hey, by the time your show over, even nobody know you was on radio. So the message ain't get to you. Like, for example, if you, when you finish there, you go sit around by the basketball park to Hay Street. I talk to the guys.
Yeah,
you could actually talk to them face to face.
Yes.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because you know where everybody heading tonight.
Yes, sir.
They going out to Montague.
Yes,
they going out to Fish Fry. They going out to Portiskey Dock. And they going out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, sir.
And it's all about party, drinking, dancing, and you know that.
Yes, sir.
And that might go on till Sunday night.
I agree.
This the weekend. God bless the weekend. God bless TGIF too. But screws continue to do,
of course.
I try my little best to spit out what I can spit out and bring back some of the memories that I remember, the things that happened during my lifetime growing up, mostly in the valley. I used to travel between the valley, McCullough Corner, because my cousin had a grandmother through McCullough Corner, through Thompson's Way, right across the road from this. One of them was. So it was between the valley, Markey Street, and then we just go as far as the Southern Recreation Ground to go to the Capitol, the cinema,
the
Nassau Theater, and all that kind of thing.
Yes, sir.
So those was my stomping ground, too. And I was around before the road was even broke through with Collins Wall.
Yes, sir.
Then we had to climb the ladder to get from one side of Centerville over the hill. We call that over the hill.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Thank you.
And then
much.
People talk about over the hill. They don't realize there's more than one over the hill.
Yes.
The bottom of the valley is over the hill. Over the hill is from the north side of the island to the south side.
Yes,
East
sir.
Street got over the hill.
Yes.
Nassau Street got over the hill. Markey Street is over the hill. Foxville is over the hill. Everything on the south side is over the hill.
Yes.
All of these from over the hill, if you're on the south side.
Yes, sir.
From Wolf, from, you're talking about Madera Street or Rosetta Street, go down south.
Yes, sir.
You'll find out, you stand on Wolf Road. I can say this like this. You stand on Wolf Road one day by Windsor Park.
Yes, sir.
Scrooge, tell me how much white people used to pass that way.
A lot.
But look here, they must be tourists.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yes, sir. I mean, there are not a lot of white people pass here, but they're starting, like, they're passing the bus and the taxi, which is normal. Yes. I want to thank Sparky for the wonderful gesture just now. All right. You know, Sparky is saying that the show is not reaching in the right ears. I know that when I leave with the show, he's talking with the people, probably the politicians and the pastors, but I get response from around the country, and a lot of people do listen to the show. A lot of the bars play this particular show because a lot of people like the show, because they say this is a show that talks about their personal lives. You know, it's a real show, and also I'm doing a lot of positive programs and encouraging other people to start other programs in the country. But this show, it's a fantastic show. And the solution that Guardian has asked me to provide has been past 100, you know, because I've seen many of my ideas come to fruition. And let me give you one of the ideas now I'm going to show you right now. We're going to take this last call, then I'm going to go to show you that it's reaching in the air, Sparky. They might not say it's reaching the edge, but I can show you how much stuff I did over the course of my career as an advisor to governments and see the ideas that I give them come to fruition. And I'm going to show you a prime example after we take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Good day, Mr. Scrooge.
Yes, sir. Good night. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Good day. Glad I finally got you. You have a very powerful show. The things you say are very powerful.
Yes, sir.
I used to listen, but I'm listening tonight again. And I just want to say you're doing an excellent job. The things that you say are very true.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
You know, we have problems in these communities because I live over the hill too, believe it or not.
Yes, sir.
And you know what you say is true? People on the outside, they don't really understand.
No, they don't.
They're totally out of touch.
They talk about it and they...
And that's it.
That's it. They, and they'd say things like, though. They defend it, but they still come back and say, no, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that.
They like to point fingers and cast blame.
Right.
And cast judgment, too.
Yes.
All right?
And the fuck is out there.
We are a hurting community over the hill. And I must admit, you changed your life, right?
Yes, sir.
Many of us could do the same.
Yes, sir.
I know it's not easy.
It's not easy at
all. Especially living under conditions... where every day you're hungry.
You're correct. It ain't easy. It ain't easy at all.
It ain't easy to change. But you did it, and I'm sure many of us can do it, and that's the thing that's going to change our community.
Yes, sir.
We need to change our mindset.
Yes, sir.
I just want you to keep up the good work.
Yes, sir.
And like Sparky said, many people ain't listening tonight. I advocate and I want to push for you to come on during the day.
Yes.
Because there's too much politics talking all day long.
And that's
on every show.
And that's not solving none of the country's
issues. That ain't solving nothing. It's just a bunch of talk.
Over and
I want to hear what you talking, man, and what people are going through.
That's
and
right.
And the hurting people.
That's right. In order for us to change the country in the direction the country is going in.
You have a wonderful show, man. And I want you to come on in the day. Just keep it up, okay, Scrooge?
Thank you very much.
To you. You're welcome, man.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I want to say to all the listeners, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate Sparky and all the callers, and, you know, because you guys keep me going, you know, because, like I said, you know, exposing my life's past, you know. I trying to move on, but I can't move on with the country when the same thing's happening over and over and over and over and over and over, and we still making the same mistakes. But I want to say yes. I would even be more than happy come on anytime on Guardian Radio. But I'm quite content of the hour and a half that I received here because I'm grateful to the station for even giving me an opportunity to actually have a voice in the country. I've made the most of it, out of it, and I'm reaching you guys, so that's important. But don't think for a minute that we're not making strides. I just want this country to know that as a young man, and I don't like to boast and brag because I'm not all about that. I'm a quiet guy, but when I see that persons like myself have to come to the forefront in order to challenge the hierarchy in this country and to say that the little man them in this country can have a voice and make big change in this country. Listen, I think that if you look at the government structure and what I have been able to assist government with in the last 20 to 25 years is unparalleled to anyone in this country. Unparalleled to anyone. If I was challenged now with a sitting prime minister right now in front of me right now, a sitting minister, he have no comparison to me when it comes to the ideas that I've given the government, the plans that I've done, working with IDB Bank, and that government itself is advocating some of the solutions I've given to them in this country. And a lot of the programs that I've talked to government with, I've seen being legislated in parliament, and today, is active in the country, but they're never gonna tell you there's a guy like me who did it, because I never was looking for it. I was doing it because I had an opportunity to go where no one has gone before as an individual with that type of background, coming off the streets, being a gang leader, being a drug dealer, being a someone who was harming people, you know, being a someone who was against the police. And that is great, great, great change, and that's why I'm appreciate for Guardian for this hour and a half here on the show. And I think I made the most of it. So I just want to show you. These are some of the ideas that are happening right now in this country. And I'm only going to talk about this one. But I'm going to show you this one idea. Went from one idea to about 10. Government will spend $1.5 million in fees of cleanup program. Now, if anyone been listening to me, I have this particular program going on in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street area for many years. I've been removing garbage to Hay Street, Taylor Street, Hay Street, Lewis Street, and the side going on for many years, and there's still more garbage to move in that community, right? And I want y'all to listen closely. And this government program right now, see if it ain't sound familiar to something that I'm doing right now in the Grandstand community. Okay, let me read it again. Government will spend $1.5 million fees of cleanup program. Starting next week, the government will launch an extensive cleanup and beautification program on New Providence and several islands at an initial cost of $1.5 million. Minister of Environment and Natural Resources, Juan Miller, said yesterday, and this is out the Nassau Guardian. They are giving out some good information. Nassau Guardian on Facebook, I must say, and now the newspaper is doing a good job of informing the country on the national issues. So I want to give a thumbs up to the Nassau Guardian for providing some adequate and informative information to the general public. Miller said the program, which will begin on Monday, is a collaboration between his ministry and the Ministry of Social Service and the Urban Development. All of us in here, including those on the side opposite, will agree. And they told me this is not the correct way to say it. See, like I was saying, people might don't like how I'm saying things, sugarcoating it. Now, here's the minister saying the same thing, right? He said all of us, he's talking with the opposition, and they have this discussion about this program, social service, urban development, and probably the opposition where they are. And he said the opposite, so you mean the opposition will agree. And they told me this is not the correct way to say it, but I have to say it. It is the way it is, that our little island is filthy. So they're saying to the Minister of Environment, don't say it's filthy. So they're trying to say, well, the country just needs cleanup. See, we always want to sugarcoat stuff. I ain't a sugarcoat stuff. The country is filthy. The Bahamas is filthy. Nassau, New Providence is filthy. Filthy. And all this leads to crime. All right? Let me see. All right. But I have to say, yeah. Okay, sorry. It says filthy. All right. Yeah, filthy. Miller said in the House of Assembly, it's dirty. The time has long been gone to clean it up. Specifically, concentration will be placed on New Providence and the major family islands. The family islands to be addressed in the phase one are Andras, Bimini, Cat Island, Eleuthera, Exuma, and Great Harbor Key. Miller continued, we will commence with the communities of Fox Hill, Freetown, Centerville, Angleston, Bain and Grandstand, and Fort Chatham, and will focus on the removal of dialect vehicles from properties within these communities. And when he says properties within these communities, normally government would move the cars just on the side of the road. But there are many cars on people's private land that has to be removed, and many of these people are not going to remove them. So government, I like this stance, and this is things I'll be advocating for on these ideas that I would sit down and give to the advisory board on these issues affecting the country. And you see, now you're seeing this coming to fruition to benefit the Bahamian people. So like I'm saying, it's reaching people. You know, I sit down with one military 3 months ago and had the same discussion with him. So it takes one to go and have a meeting, to sit down with the minister, and then give an idea that he grasps. Now, it might not be beneficial to me, because, you know, I'm just giving an idea. But me and Mr. Miller sit down, and we had this discussion no longer than 3 months ago, Juan Miller. And then before that, this was done in the works from 2013. Under the Urban Design Lab, which I am the number one partner, which when the former government, under the leadership of Hubert Alexander Minnis, switched the name from the Urban Design Lab to the Overland Initiative. So, Sparky, I would agree with you that it's not reaching, but it is reaching because I see my programs all over in the book. Anyone could go look in the Urban Design Lab and see it's the Overland Initiative. So all these programs you're seeing happen in the country when it comes to this, that's the idea that I give when I sit down to the meetings that I went to. When I sit down to the IDB, International Development Bank, our number one financial bank that donates to many of the programs in the country. Yes. When I sit down with the Office of the Prime Minister or the Ministry of National Security as an advisor or the Urban Rules Center where I'm an advisor or the Neighborhood Watch under the leadership of Kino Wong as an advisor. So it's reaching and I'm seeing my works and I know my work. So that's why I could talk on these things because I know my work. We already did this in 2013, so this is just out the Urban Design Lab, and I applaud the government. I applaud the Minister of Environment for taking this step and making this proposal to Cabinet so that we can begin to continue to clean up this community. So let me finish reading. Followed by systematic removal of oil or dialect vehicles from properties within these communities. So the government will be going in properties and removing cars, right? Followed by the systematic removal of all bulk wakes. So I'm advising those who live in this community. I'm saying this to you now. Listen, the government is going to announce when it'd be in the area to move bulk wakes. So if you know of a neighbor yard or your yard that needs a removal of garbage or bulk wakes, there's dialect vehicles in his yard or bulk waste is in the back of the yard or side of the yard, you need to get yourself together, get in contact with the Ministry of Environment, or start to put the garbage and remove it and put it in a position where when the Ministry of Environment come, they will assist you in moving the bulk waste because there are too much garbage in the back of these yards. There's too much garbage in these old abandoned houses. There are too much dialect vehicles around the country. You understand? And we need to clean down these yards, which are houses where the owners have not been around for 20, 30 years, probably even 50 years. And they just leave these properties there. Nothing is done. These houses are where illegal activities happen. These houses where kids get together and have sexual intercourse and et cetera. So let me finish read. Immediately following the exercise, the Ministry of Social Service through the Office of the Urban Renewal Commission remove into the after formation constituencies with teams identified from within the various communities to carry out roadside cleaning where required, as well as clean up vacant lots as necessary. Behemoth should be aware that over the past 3 years, the Department of Environment Health has removed more than 8,500 dialect vehicles from communities throughout the Bahamas, and it is estimated that the activities embarked for phase one of the project in New Providence will cost about $1.1 million. In the family island, the cost is project at some $400,000. Call it, come right now, let me finish read this. Additionally, the Minister with responsibility for social service throughout the Office of the Urban Renewal in collaboration with the Office of the Prime Minister will focus on the acquisition of vacant properties for the erection of community centers, parks, and recreation facilities where residents can exercise within their communities. Haven't you all heard this before? I'm doing that right now in Grandstand. So they're talking about buying abandoned houses, turning them into community centers, turning them into recreational facilities like green spaces. You could do backyard farming. You could do community get together. We could do the grill. You know, you could be, you can just imagine what you can do with a lot of abandoned properties in these communities. You got to make these communities livable for the residents in these communities. All right. Carmen, let me just take this one call real quick, and then I'm going to continue reading this. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside MCD.
What's going on, man?
Everything good. Yeah.
Yeah, I see, sometimes I wonder, right, if readers, like can go to Wikipedia. You know, when you Google, they go to Wikipedia definition.
Mm.
So when you Google where the urban renewal, right,
mm-hmm.
you know, that has to do with breaking down buildings, breaking down.
Yeah. And like the caller said, let me tell you the story about the urban renewal. See, just my work again. Late back in the early 90s. Let me just finish reading this, then I'm going to talk about the urban renewal. I'm going to write it down, and then when I finish it, I'm going to talk about the urban renewal. All right. They're saying they're going to go in these communities, buy properties. So they're going to be old houses that are within the community. Because we ride around Nassau in the Providence, there are thousands of houses that are vacant. We clean them down, they will be overgrown with grass again. People will put trash back in them because we have some nasty people in the country. They clean up their yard, but they take the garbage from their yard and throw it over the next, their neighbor's yard. It don't make no sense because when that builds up a rotten rodent, sanity and whatever, and et cetera, those rotten rodents will actually expand when they run their babies away from that particular spot, and they're going to live in your yard. And then they're going to spread to the neighbor's yard, and then you're going to have a rot infest the community, a mosquito infest the community, a dirty community, and the trash is going to continue to build up. And then you're going to have disease. So let me finish read. Parks and recreation facilities where residents can exercise within their community. Like I said, these can be turned into green spaces, you know, with proper lighting. Additionally, the upgrade in these communities will include adequate street lighting, street sign replacement, repairs to a portable water system, and a total refurbishment of all government rental complexes to facilitate a better life for Bahamians. Furthermore, the Urban Renewal Commission, headed by ASP Stephen Dean, I worked with Stephen Dean for many years, and we're going to work together again in partnership with former Cabinet Minister Leslie Partick Miller, will work with various community partners, renovate homes that are in dire need of repairs. Okay, Miller also said the government will collaborate with landowners to ensure that their rental properties are upgraded. Some landlords are slum landlords, and I'm going to agree on this. Landlords in this country collecting rent when there's no proper toileting, the roof is leaking, rotten insects are in the place that they're renting. So these things should not be tolerated in the country, and this is one of the reasons why we are so filthy, because we want to rent out our apartment buildings, and then they're not adequate for people to live. And then I want to say that people who rent an apartment, you can't go in the people's house and do what you want, damage the toilet, damage the walls, doing what you want to do, not cleaning up the people's house, and you know, not paying rent on time. So it goes both ways. But I would agree that the landlords in this country are actually, what we call them, slum landlords. Some. We can't say all. But the government needs to come down in these inner-city communities. They need to go send inspectors to these particular rental houses, make sure that everything is in order. And also, complaints can also be made by the landlord owners against the tenants if the tenants are not doing what the regulations are and it's not over the boundaries. We need to look into these things. So we need to have inspectors go in these communities, because some of these rental homes should not be rented at all. Okay? And maybe we could deal with many issues like this. So I want to agree. And then, like I said again, people who rent people houses, you should treat people places with the utmost respect. Many of us go and rent people places and we damage it, you know? So it goes two ways, you know? It goes two ways, but I like the stance the government is taking. Yes. Miller said, through the mix of laughter and jabs, and no, see, this is reality. You see, but listen, yeah. So he's saying some landlords are slum landlords, Miller said, to a mix of laughter and gasp in the House of Assembly. So this is a joke. This is a joke. See, this is what I'm telling you. So when I come and say it, you won't be hard on me. But when the politician here, they're laughing. So what they're laughing at? Because Miller telling the truth, because the country is filthy, because the landlords are slum landlords, their yard is filthy. You know, you rent the apartment. In the yard, you get about six cars, all kind of garbage everywhere. In the yard, and you're moving into the apartment building. Come on, man. Hey, there's no apartment building in this country should be rented red as garbage. Old cars. There's not a proper garbage collection to apartment building. You know, if you look at many of these rental, you would see the yards are completely filthy. Some are prestige and clean, But the majority are not fit for people to even be renting out because the yard itself is filth. Rats running all through the yard. So when you walk in this yard, you know, you're stepping on a rat poo, you're going inside, you ain't not knowing you can't inside. So you're bringing a lot of germs in your house, you know, because the yard is filthy. You know, and that's how it is in our country. You know, running around that, but the politicians are laughing. Now they may be laughing because, you know, it seems like a joke, but it's no joke. This is what it is. You know, ride through Peter Street. Just ride through Peter Street. Ride through Quaker Street. Ride in Camp Road and you'll see hundreds of abandoned houses. If you look, you'll see all kind of filth. Ride to some of the government complexes. You know, the communities are not fit for people to be living in. So this step that the government is taking, but this step here is the idea I've been given for many years. Many years I've been talking about this on the Guardian Radio. This is in the Urban Design book. You know, so let me finish reading. So landlords, if you're not acting right, we are coming after you. Get your house in order. And I would agree. But at the same time, landlord, when you fix up your house, you know, be transparent, you know, reasonable rent. You know, you have to, and landlords overcharge sometime to the tenants. And then tenants, you know, sneak people to live. It's only me, one, and my kid when you look. It's about 10 people living in the people's house. They break up everything. So it's a two-way street, you know, and we're going to have to work on it. Miller said both individuals and companies will be hired on his ministry with aided by the hiring guidelines placed at his ministry. I agree. Opposition leader Michael Pintard asked Miller whether individuals or companies will be hired for the program and what kind of hiring process will be used. Well, let me just tell you this. You get in the inner city communities, you get carpenters. So set up a plan where you could hire guys in that particular community, help them get their business license, and let the ministry work with them in their respective community. Let them survey the area, get them a few, 2-3 houses apiece, where they get up on 20 guys, you know, so you want to be transparent and help people. And then do it block by block and find leaders who are committed, not for the money, you need money, but who are committed to helping and improve the community. You know, identify all of the lots that need repairs, identify all the houses that need to be repaired, identify those houses that needs to be taken down, identify all the yards that need to be cleaned, identify all the derelict vehicles that need to be removed. Set it up, Grandstand, Lewis Street, Hay Street, we get that marpled. We get Centerville marpled, 3 corners, 4 corners. We get 50 cars, and there's 3 corners, and et cetera. This is the stuff I do. And I see my work, and this is my work, which God gave me. And he gave me the insight to sit down and give these ideas to the powers to be. You know, they're never going to acknowledge it come from me or whatever, et cetera. See, that's the whole thing about it. That's how you make progress. But I know my work. I know my work. All right, I know my work. For instance, let me tell y'all again. I don't tell lies. All right? You hear me? It's called Lady Cheryl Wilson. You hear me talk about the honorable former minister of national security, Tommy Tancred. You hear me talk about Hubert Ingraham. You hear me talk about the former prime minister Hubert Ingraham. All right? You've heard me talk about a lot of high-profile people and high-low-class people in this country. You hear me talk about the commissioner of police. I know all the commissioner of police, them who, from Paul Farquharson to B.K. Barnaby Sr., deceased B.K. Barnaby Sr., to B.K. Barnaby Jr., you know, to Clayton Fernando, the Paul Roll. I know all these guys because these guys used to lock me up when I was a terrorist on the street. And now they resume high position and some are retired now. All right? So I don't tell no lies when I come on this show. All that is the experience what I went through. That's the difference with me. I'm a very honest guy. And if I say I'm going to do something, I might not do it in a timely fashion. It's because the time is not right. But I will eventually get to what comes out of my mouth. All right. So let me give you a prime example of the programs and ideas that I've given. Back in the 90s when Mr. Christie just became opposition leader, all right, when Sir Lyndon made him opposition leader, when there was a battle between Mr. Christie and the late great Dr. Bird and all that. I was rigged out. I was there when Celindon, the late great Celindon Pinlin, said to us, to our street guys. Celindon Pinlin said to our street guys. And the street guys are still living today. Some of them are still living today. And when we were top gangsters, we were there with Celindon, and he was changing our mindset. And he said to us, he don't want Brian Nordich to be the opposition leader after he stepped down. Celindon said, we support Perry Glasgow and Christie. So before Mr. Christie even became opposition leader, I was done working with Celindon Pinlin in his office, in his law firm, downtown, across from Flowers, mine that is situated on Junkanoo Beach. So when Mr. Christie get opposition, we work with Mr. Christie. We weren't successful to become the next government. But at that time, Mr. Christie and I and Celindon and many of the gang leaders were sitting down to the table and trying to find solutions on how we can help assist the less fortunate in the community. And I was never looking out for myself. I always had a concern for my country because I see the suffering that my parents were going through. So what I would normally do is I always had a heart, not for myself, but for my country people. And so Celindon would sit us down along with opposition, the new opposition leader, Perry Glasgow and Christie. And they also had a law firm of Christie and Ingram down Shirley Street, Grand Shirley Street, where I used to meet Mr. Christie at Christie and Ingram. Down from the hospital, they had a law firm right there, Christie and Ingram. And I used to meet there along with former minister's son. I hope I'll get the name right. Herman Battle. And in that sitting, Mr. Christie said, if he become prime minister, how can he assist the less fortunate? And how can he make a difference? Well, they didn't have no ideas on how they could. And many of the guys on the streets who were there at the meeting were not gifted like me. I was blessed because my auntie told me, say, when I was born at Princess Margaret Hospital, I born with one teeth in my mouth. Mm-hmm. They said I born with one teeth in my mouth, and that when the doctor saw me born with one teeth in my mouth, he said that I'm going to be a strong leader and I'm going to be a wise young man. And when I talk, people will listen. And the doctor said that they said I was born with teeth, man. He told me this. They told me, said that a crib could not hold me. I had to be free. Every time they put the crib, I would break the crib up. I had to be free. I was never meant to be in captive. Yeah. So at the meeting, Mr. Christie was asking about the streets, why there's so much murders, why so much poverty, and we always explained to him the situation concerning how we get the way we are. Now, we were to the table with our enemies. We were there with the rebellions, and we were there with the border boys. We were the two main set who sit down with Mr. Christie. And in that meeting, there was Kelsey, Scrooge Lundy, Franz Pascal on the Raider side, and then it was me and James Charles and Marco Cordette, who is now inspector on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we would normally be the meeting. And I would always sit down, I was always strategizing because on the streets, listen, before I went after anybody in the streets, I always was a planner. I always said, if you come from the front, if you come from the back. So I was always gifted with coordinating or setting up a plan or have a plan. And that's why I'm still living today. But anyway, to the meeting, we were discussing on how we could, you know, if Mr. Christie get to be the next prime minister in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. So I suggested to the meeting, I said, Mr. Christie, I say, you know, in these communities, you know, there are a lot of abandoned houses. You know, sir, a lot of houses need repair. Doors, windows are rotten. And people, you know, yards need to clean up and et cetera. And I say many of us can't go in different areas because we are warring. So what if we can say, if I live in Wolf Road, and I'm from that particular area, if I could get some contracts for the side of the road, to clean up the side of the road and fix some houses and fix some roofs and et cetera, and we could give a couple of contracts to them guys in that area. So I'm saying we could give some of the contracts to the Raiders so that they could wake up in the area, find abandoned houses, houses that need repair with leaking, with the older residents in it, the disabled people, and let's go in there. And that's where we could get small contracts for the guys in the neighborhood, and there would be no harm to themselves because they'd be in the neighborhood. It ain't like they're going to the next neighborhood where they're going to be shot at, because, you know, if you go in a different neighborhood, guys get mad at you because they're saying you from Grandstand, what you doing in Carrollport fixing houses? So it didn't make no sense. I said, why don't we do that? So Mr. Christie said it makes sense. So he was unsuccessful at the general election. You know, then we give it a try again, and then he was successful. And then Stephen Dean came looking for me, took me to Mr. Christie, and we strategized on this again. So in there, he came up with the urban renewal. If you don't believe me, go ask the former minister, Perry Gladstone Christie. He might have a short memory, but I don't. I don't. So anytime you see me call someone name in this country, I had a personal experience with them, and I have a good memory, and I also see my work. So that's how urban renewal get started, and that's how many guys got contracts in the country to start doing the side of the roads, fixing houses, and moving dialect vehicles. And they come back again in 2013 with the Urban Design Lab. And in that, let me just tell the general public, in that, students from Vienna, Austria, came down to the Bahamas to work with the Office of the Prime Minister. And Mr. Christie and I were on bad terms. But they wanted to find a way on how they could tie in Bay Street to the inner city, because they were trying to find ways on how they could empower the inner city people, because they are saying across the world with the Urban Design Lab, they wanted to deal with poverty, and they wanted to find out how they could connect Bay Street with Grandstand and Mason Addition and Bainton, because we just only about 100 steps away from Bay Street. I live in Grandstand, and all I have to do is walk up the hill to see how I walk up. It only takes me but 5-6 minutes to get to Bay Street. But yet still, I don't have no American money in my pocket. I have no trade. But yet still, tourism is our number one industry, and it makes millions of dollars every year. But how much money is coming over the hill? So if we have 7 million visitors visit us in 2017 or 18, right? And we have high unemployment in the country. Now, how it is you get 7 million visitors, which I call customers, come to your shore, and we have over 50 to 60 to 70,000 people unemployed. But we are the richest Caribbean country in the world. Something ain't right. It don't compute. It don't compute. There's no way you could have 7 million visitors coming to a shore, and they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars yearly. Yet still, we have high unemployment in the country. Why we're not trained in wood carving? Why we're not training jet ski operators on a large scale? Rental homes, and et cetera. Because when I look at the book, the history back when I was a young kid, and anyone can tell me if I'm lying, I can remember living in Grandstand, and people in Grandstand there used to pick up money. I used to live in Grandstand, Lewis Street, Hayes Street, and Taylor Street all my life. And we had an influx of Black Americans and tourists coming to the Francis Hotel. We had fishermen who would sell fish. We had guys who would carve. We had a lot of local bars. We had a lot of local theaters. We had a lot of shows, I mean, Capitol Theater, and et cetera. And money used to be littered in the streets of Grandstand, where people never used to pick up money. Now you can't even find 1 cent on the street, because we used to take advantage of the tourism industry back 40, 50, 60 years ago. And people were able to tap into the market. That's why in that particular area, we used to have a lot of American currency. Then the drug academic coming, we stopped the tourists from coming over and talking with the behemoths. So all the wood carvers, all the fishermen, all the guys who sell fruit, the canap, sour soap and stuff, who are they with small business, the peanut guy, and et cetera. All that stopped. All the tailors, all the bakers. All that stopped. And we lose our way. We going to be a concrete jungle instead of an island. And I'm going to say this. The Bahamas gone from being an island. We lost our island. We become a concrete jungle. And our identity has what I say, should say, it has shrivelled. And we have to regain our identity back, which is we are island people. And we are family oriented. And that's the bottom line. And like I said, that's how Herb Renewal gets started. And go ask Mr. Christie. Go ask him personally. Ask him if he never sit down by his office and sit down with Sir Lyndon Pinlan and have this discussion. Ask him via this discussion. Go ask him. So this program that the government has implemented going into the communities and moving dialect vehicles, buying properties, this is a step we should have taken 20 years ago because many of these homes could have been already being developed into communities. It wouldn't have been a community center, would have been a green place. If it was in a community center, it'd probably be a trading place to keep people trade about the tourism industry. You understand? Because there's 100 different or 1,000 different ways how Bahamians can benefit from the tourism industry. The tourism industry bailed us out. Right now, the tourism industry bailing out. We saying that we should move away from that. How could you move away from something when we ain't really been benefiting from it the way we supposed to be? With all this high unemployment. You can imagine we have taxi drivers over there. We have hair braiders. We have fingernail guys. We have barbers who are doing Caucasian hair. We have people who are cooking food for many different guests from around the world, from Germany, United States, China, coming to the Bahamas. We have a lot of, calf set up in the communities. We have the local bars open. We have the parks where we have stalls set up in the parks and et cetera. We could have people braiding here on their back porches where we could have the guests come as long as we deal with the crime in the area and et cetera. There's so many different ways for us to benefit from the tourism industry. But you know where we are? Let me show you who we are. We are monkeys. We are wild dogs. We are lions. I must see the gorilla. Because all I see happens in this country. Tourists comes off the cruise ship. They stop the McDonald's. They stop the Junkanoo Beach. They stopped at the point, they stopped the Dunkin' Donuts, and then a few walked or pavements that laid from over the hill. But they ain't spending no money when they go over the hill because there's no attraction. But they spend the majority of the money downtown Bay Street. But nothing is coming over the hill. You have to take a break here. You understand what I'm saying? So my producer saying we have to take a break on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge and Scroogie. We'll be right back on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora's eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau Bahamas,
big up. We're back on this wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My producer, Kramer, is in the studios, and we're getting ready to end the show. But I just want you to listen to what I'm saying to each and every one of you, Odell. What I've contributed, what I don't like to talk about, but I talk about it because I just want people to see what you can do coming from nothing and doing big things for your country, and then you know, they'll never say it's you who did it, but you'd see the majority of your programs that you give, but I know they're my ideas. You know, and just like I said to Mr. Barry Grasso and Christie, he has contributed greatly to the country. You know, the reason I had my beef with the former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Minnis because he could do more. All he had to do is continue the hovers on board and the push the ideas and programs in the city community as far as concerning the urban design lab, which was the Overton Initiative, but he decided to say it's his bread and butter, and he stopped progress. Caller, we're going to take this call 1 minute, and we only have a minute to spare. So go ahead, caller, if you can make it real quick, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scooge, how you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Listen, what I want to do, what I want to say to you, I want to say to you off the air.
Okay.
So I need to talk to your, the engineer. Leave my number.
Okay, you could, yes, the producer, you could just call in the station and leave the number right there with the producer for me, please.
Yeah, I'll leave my number and then just give me a call.
Okay, I will do that. He's listening now, so you could call the station and give it out. So I just want to say that to the Miami people, Mr. Christie did wonders for the country just by listening to persons like myself and many persons like Lady Cheryl Wilson, who assisted the BLP in winning the election on the 10-point plan that we put together when she was the woman branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. Go ask her also. Or if you think I'm lying, go ask Tommy to Ingress. Huh? Go ask him if we help pass a lot of legislation by sitting down and negotiating. Mm-hmm. The same young man, Rachel. You understand? But I see all kind of awards, which I'm not looking for one whatsoever. But every time I look, this award, this one, all over the country, which I'm happy for all those. But the little set who we throw away are the ones who are making the big difference in this country. And if we were to recognize them to their true potentials, this country would change around immediately. All right? So I just want to read something real quick from the Prime Minister. Real quick, this is one of the statements. Government to pursue more options to fight crime, warning that he does not want the Bahamas to lose a generation. Mr. Brave Davis, we have not lose, we have already lost generations. We already lost generations of young men, all right, to violence. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis committed to exploring possible legislation approved to save young men and boys caught in crime. The Prime Minister also called on MPs to share any advice or suggestion with the government to combat the issue. I am grateful to the opportunity to talk to people from all walks of life, Davis said in a communication in Parliament. It is impossible not to be struck by the tragedies involving so many of our young boys and young men. Not only our young boys and men, sir, the young ladies, because the young ladies are more terrible than the young men. Even though the young men pull the trigger a lot, but these ladies nowadays, some of them are not ladies. They are taking on identity of a man and making man decision. Some of these ladies nowadays will set you up so quick, and it is in the newspaper, and we are seeing it. So, sir, it ain't just about the males and the young men. It's about the young girls and the young women. These young women ain't playing. I know anyone listening right now, some are saying now, hey, I know some of men saying right now, what we could do. For us who have sons, what we could do, because the ladies, them are not really brought up properly and understand what a lady to be is just as well as the gentleman. So we're in some serious problems, so that's why these programs are so important. You know, crime statistics portray a stark picture of violence, gang-related activity, and general criminality. See, gang-related and generally criminality. So it ain't just about the gangs. The general criminality means just people doing crime, and that's what I'm talking about. It ain't just about the gangsters. Like I said back in the 70s, it was just about the gangsters. There were drug dealers, there were rapists, there were bungie bandits, there were kidnappers, there were armed robbers. You know, so it was a variety of abuse, a variety of different crimes happening in the country. Go ahead, caller. You got about a minute. Please go make it real quick. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, screw it, Sparky. Call him back 1 minute, you say?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, how you doing? Let me tell you something, screw it. I've been listening to you for a little while. We believe that all the things that you said, at least I believe, that all the things that you said you did, all the people that you sat down and talked with, I believe those events happened. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
We believe you, you know.
Yes.
You don't need to convince us that you did all of this. We believe you.
No, I'm not trying to convince nobody.
No, but what I'm saying is we believe you.
Yes, sir.
And we, at least myself, I am glad and thankful, not only for myself, but for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and the future children and grandchildren to come.
Yes, sir.
I personally reaching out to say thank you, Scrooge, for what the work you did, all the meetings, all the people you met, all the ideas you push out there, we did a lot of things. I mean, screw it, before I go, let me tell you something. I know back in the day I did some things. When I used to be very active at Prince Hall Masonic Lodge, I started the blood march from Parliament, from Rawson Square to the blood bank back in 1975 there. Prince Hall Lodge donated 195 pints of blood in 1 month. They still have Prince Hall Blood March every September to this day from 1975.
Yes, sir.
I also did things on the Western Port called Kites and Gadgets, where we used to take thousands of children up on the Western Port to fly kites, box cards, skate, dominoes, everything, hula hoop, all that kind of thing. We did things. People like you and I, we did things, trying our best at ideas to do things for the future and the children of the country. Our problem is getting people to be with us and help us do these things like sponsors and stuff to get these things back in action again.
Yes, sir.
So we could get these children off the street.
Yes,
see,
sir.
The children ain't got nothing to do. Like when we was young, I'm screwed. When school closed, I think we in the parks flying kite. We on Senator doing, I'm skating, I'm coming down the hill.
Yes.
We're doing box cart. We're doing shooting marbles.
Yes.
We're doing this.
What
see,
kids supposed to do?
The children just got cellular phones.
Yes, sir.
They got video games.
Yes, sir.
They ain't doing nothing. They
yes,
ain't doing We got to get them active.
Yes, sir. You so not,
we
yes,
gotta
sir.
We got to get them active.
Yes,
what.
Sir.
Because if they ain't doing nothing, they can pick up a gun.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what's happening. That's why I say the community is not fit for these kids, because there's no proper institution in this community. Like how you talk about all the hoopla and the shooting marbles and after school and flying the kites. I was a part of that. That's why we are so, you know, that's the truth. So let me finish reading this. And Sparky is quite correct. You know, there have been 99 murders so far. Now it's 101. That's when this came out. And more than half of those victims were out on bail, police said. Murders for 2007 are up compared to the same period last year. If murders continue unabated, 2022 is on track to suppress 119 murders recorded in 2021. The bloodiest year on record was 2015, when 146 murders were recorded. Davis said his administration is implementing a broad range of policies to increase safety and security. We have expanded the reach of urban rural, he said. We have dramatically increased recruitment into the Royal Mounted Defense Force, Police Force, and Department of Immigration. $6 million are being allocated for a new Defense Force vessels to better protect our borders. A new coastal radar was commissioned at the Coral Harbor base. The Marco Alert System was launched to activate an urgent bulletin in child abduction cases and get information to the public sooner. Use of spot shot technology was expanded across New Providence and into Grand Bahama to tackle gun-related crimes. He said, we also expanded the use of body cameras and dash cameras by police officers to support them with wider and greater accountability and more accurate monitoring of police officers' interaction. In Grand Bahama, we acquired a fire truck and we are implementing new training opportunities for the service. Saturation patrols are a priority in areas where they need most. We understand that poor lighting impacts crime and therefore are launching an extensive streetlight project to ensure our communities are better. So, people, listen, the government is cleaning up and they're looking for people to come and tell them where there are dark spots where they can put light. So, you have a responsibility now and take what government has to offer. So, if you have some dialect vehicles, you have a yard that is dirty, call the office of your local MP and he has no choice but to assist you to remove the dialect vehicles. I would say this to business owners and homeowners or rental. You need to clean the yard. You need to fix your house. You need to clean the yard. If you're a business owner, how could you be selling breakfast when a raid across the road from you is filthy with cars and garbage? Even though your place is clean, it doesn't look right. So even though the property is not your own, make an attempt to say to yourself, you know, I have a business. The flies that comes from over there, if someone shows a dead dog over there, and I'm here eating breakfast at your breakfast place, your breakfast restaurant, which is clean, but the flies would fly from there and come and contaminate the people's food. So even though you have a good business, you have a sore eye and something that is not healthy. So I'm encouraging people, you know, look at your surrounding. Take advantage of this opportunity that the Ministry of Environment and the government is providing and use this opportunity to get rid of all the garbage that is in the back of your yard. You might have some garbage in your house. You might need your home repair. Apply to urban renewal. Look up the numbers where you can go and find the Ministry of Environment. You know, if you have to go out $1 million yourself personally, then do it. Take advantage, BME people across the country. This is an opportunity for you to make a difference in your community. Go and use the resources. If there's lights off in your community, call the local MP or find out where you can get some information regarding this so that you can make this report. So that you can have proper lighting, because lighting is important, you know. Our urban renewal center also has some cheap cameras, security cameras. You can also check the urban renewal. You might need some cameras, you know, to your home. You can imagine 4 or 5 neighbors have cameras back to back, so that if something happened in the community, at least 5 of you guys have cameras, and you could say, well, this is the person. So you could be able to relay this information to the police to protect yourself and your family and your community. You know, because I could go to my neighbor and see that they have a camera. So urban renewal also has some cheap cameras for sale at the urban renewal department. I think Inspector Pratt has left, but I'm going to find some more information. So take advantage of this opportunity of this cleanup, and I think they're going to extend it so that we can keep on cleaning up the bomb until we get rid of these cars and stuff. So, like I said, the government will be looking to remove cars that are in the yard, bulk waste. So if you have it in your yard, in the back of the yard, you can pull it to the front. You have some children or grandchildren. You know, you can use your grandchildren. You know, you could use your children. You know, many of us today wouldn't even ask our children, or have the audacity to ask our children that we have a lot of garbage in the yard. We wouldn't even ask our children because we believe our children is our friend. The children don't have to contribute. You know, before you ask your children, you'd rather go pay somebody $150 to come clean the yard. But what you have your children doing, or your grandchildren doing? What they're living with you for? You feed them, you're taking care of them. But yet still, you can't get them to move, clean up the garbage that's right in front of the door. You're spoiling your grandchildren, you're spoiling the children. All right? Your children are not your friend. Your children are your responsibility, and you tell them what to do in order to make them a productive citizen. All right? A lot of us does that. A lot of us have grandchildren. We have children, but we would be talking this and talking that, but we have no control over our children. We can't even get them to go to the store for us because we have them so spoiled. And we want to give them everything they want in life. No, you're spoiling them and you done set them up to be a failure in life and be a problem to us in the country. You know, so I'm saying that even when the urban was going around and when the cleanup program is going around, don't have your children just sitting on the house watching TV or on the phone like Sparky say. Have them helping clean up the yard so you can teach them responsibility. And then we need to add a program to the school to teach the kids not to litter. You know, we need to tell the drivers who drive in these cars, us as grown-ups, that we can't just be driving the car, trying to borrow the car, or driving, eating a chip. And when we're driving, we just trying to, or driving and spitting out the window. Come on. Come on, man. Come on. You know? Come on, bombers. You know? Have some cleansiness, man. I'd like for the ministry to really introduce a program for the kids in the school to teach them not to litter. Because every lunchtime, the kids just eat their lunch and they throw it on the school premises. And then the government have to pay to clean up the trash. No. Or when the kids walking out from school, they're drinking their Capri Sun, they're throwing it on the ground. Or when we as citizens walking, we're drinking our beer, we're drinking our chicken in the bag, and we just ride in the car and we just throw it out the window. We nasty as hell, and we should be ashamed. We hurting mother earth. The earth is living, and we are hurting her. You can't see that? The mom was supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful place. Everywhere you go, you see can ball, people spitting out their car, train, stopping on the red light, train the car. You know? Come on, man. We can do better. I want to say thanks to my producer and Guardian Radio for allowing me to be here. And I'm always appreciative to Guardian Radio. I want to say thanks to my producer, Kermit. I want to say thanks to all the callers. Sparky, you did an awesome job here tonight. And just remember what I said. I've done a lot of stuff in the country. I don't do it. I ever talk about it. The reason I said I talk about this is because I just feel that it needs to be said to change the mindset out there for people who would be trying to criticize me, right? To show them that I've done great things for my country and continuing to do great things for my country. And if we do this for our youths, for our boys and girls in our community, we can change the mindset of our country. All right? So I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to say thanks to my producer again and to all those listening. I'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. From Nassau Bahamas, bigger Bintan, bro.